Today's gospel has Jesus praying near the end of the time of his time here on earth. It's not an easy passage to understand, but it does affirm that we have been given eternal life, and through Jesus Christ, we are able to know God the Father. John's gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, nothing came into being. What has come into being with him was life, and that light was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it." The author John is setting a stage to provide a look at a relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The gospel starts before the earthly birth of Jesus, and he gives us a view of the Lord, a view of our God that we can't understand until the story unfolds. He gives us a picture of the relationship between Jesus and God the Father, and perhaps equally, a glimpse of what we can experience by the grace of God. Jesus was there in the beginning when the world was created, with us, even though we did not know him. The path to become children of God has always been there, depending only on us receiving him and believing on his name. It was through the gift of his Son and the grace of God that we can begin to understand what kind of a relationship we can have with God. John continues, "With the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of his Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Most of us understand glory. It comes as a pride in the accomplishments of our children, in trophies for sports, merit badges, even a great employee review. We see glory in the music and the fireworks on the 4th of July. We see it in the flags in Arlington Cemetery and the American Village. We see glory at the beginning of each day, at the first cry of a newborn, and even that first peek of spring flowers when they waken from their winter sleep. We hear glory in the majesty of the Hallelujah Chorus, Luther's Almighty Fortress, and in the simplicity of Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. We celebrate holidays, birthdays and anniversaries, Thanksgiving with family, moments of glory and reflection. But glory can be a fleeting thing. The awards and badges are eventually put away, along with the trophies that tarnish with age. Photographs fade and memories grow dim. But it's different for Jesus. He left a place of unimaginable glory, being with the Father since before the world began, and came down to earth at the Father's request to make God known to us, his people. And he's now returned again to the Father's side. We suspect that the author of the gospel may have been John, who was one of the disciples. Let's go back 2,000 years and picture ourselves as one of the disciples. We begin with the wedding at Cana. When the wine ran out, Mary turned to Jesus and told him the wine was gone. His reply was, "Why is that our concern? My hour has not yet come. It's not time for me to reveal who I am." Yet Mary told the servants to listen to Jesus, do whatever they told him. The servants listened, water became wine, and for the first time we began to realize his power. We were there when he cleared out the temple, driving out the money changers and condemning those who used God's temple as a marketplace. Who was this man that was our leader to challenge years of tradition, disrupt the economy of the temple, and even question the priests of the temple? What did he mean when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up"? We wondered if Jesus would be the Messiah, the one who came to lead the fight and free us from Roman tyranny. We were there when he told Nicodemus that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him may have eternal life. What does this mean? Do we still have to obey the law and the prophets? Is there another path to salvation? We have so many questions. Just what is the kingdom of God? We sat at his feet and we listened as he preached to the rich and the powerful, the Samaritan woman, rulers and outcasts. We were there when he healed the lame, restored sight to the blind, and we heard about a God who was not just a king and a judge, but one who truly cared for his people. Then there was the time the crowd gathered to hear him preach, and he asked us how we could feed that many people. Then he took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He blessed them and he fed 5,000, and there was more food left over. Such were the signs and the miracles that we saw. He told us that God was responsible, not him, but he could do nothing on his own. He was only doing the will of his Father. But we did not understand. But oh, that glory, that final journey into Jerusalem. We knew our Lord was troubled before he left. At the home of Lazarus, Mary had taken a pound of costly perfume and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Perfume that would be fitting to anoint a king. But this was our teacher, a man who lived a humble life, thinking more of others than himself. We thought it was a waste of money, but if kings and rulers were treated that way, maybe this is the start of a reign for our long-awaited king. The next day we started to Jerusalem to spend the Passover in the holy city. The crowds had come to see Lazarus and were deserting their faith and believing in Jesus. They joined us, rejoicing with palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." What a glorious time! The adrenaline is pumping. Our hearts are bursting with pride of being with Jesus, the Messiah coming home to Jerusalem. For 3 years we've waited for this. And now people are testifying throughout the city about the miracles that Jesus has performed, even to the raising of Lazarus after 4 days in the tomb. And then in the quiet, in the preparation for the Passover, Jesus tells Philip and Andrew that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Yes, this is what we've been waiting for. The Messiah coming into power to reveal his glory to Israel and to bring to fruition the kingdom we have longed for, freedom from oppression, joy in the presence of the King, recognized by all God's people. And then came the Passover feast. And Jesus tells us, "Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Great news. We're going to be part. He's going to be taking us with us to share that glory. But then Jesus continues saying, "Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this time and place. Father, glorify your name." And now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. Then came the trial, the cross, the betrayals, the hopes and the dreams that we had that were dashed. How could the crowds go from "Hosanna" to "crucify him"? Where was the glory in being humiliated, stripped and whipped, hung on a cross like a common criminal? He was buried in a borrowed grave, and we were hiding in fear of our lives. After all that time of the Master, how did we lose our faith? Where was the glory we expected and hoped to share with the Messiah? What happened to the kingdom that we envisioned? He told us he was the way, the truth, and the life, that if we knew him, we also knew the Father. He assured us that after he was gone, the Father would send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit in His name, who would teach us everything and remind us of all that He had told us. Perhaps now, as we gather in prayer, we're beginning to see a different type of glory, the completion of a path that led us to the cross and beyond, and now includes each of us on that journey. It was through Jesus that we were reminded of a different view of God the Father, one of love, compassion, caring, forgiveness, reconciliation, and hope. The prayers in today's gospel remind us that we have been given all that we need, that we have been claimed not only by God the Father, but also by Jesus. And by faith, through our belief, we have walked with Jesus. We have been accepted into that kingdom that Jesus told us about. And with the coming of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, we can continue to live as Jesus taught, echoing His ministry to all people in our daily lives. "It is finished" has a new meaning. It is a new beginning, a continuation, a protection, and an assurance that no matter what we face in this life, Christ is still with us. There is a glory in being one with our Lord and with each other in lives of service, honor, and praise. Even as Jesus, the Son of Man, glorified His Father, He has also glorified us by bestowing upon us His grace. We echo His prayer. Holy Father, protect us in the name of Jesus, that called by You, we may be one with You. Thanks be to God.